The usually staid world of auto manufacturing took a page out of a Jason Bourne movie today as Carlos Ghosn, the former top executive of Renault and Nissan, escaped house arrest in Tokyo and fled to Beirut, where he's being welcomed home as a celebrity. Ghosn was arrested in Japan in November 2018 on charges he'd improperly used Nissan funds to finance his lush lifestyle. He'd always maintained his innocence. Let's bring in Mike Regan, senior editor at Bloomberg News. So, Mike, the speculation is some money changed hands to enable him to get out. But take us back. Renault, French, Nissan, Japanese, Ghosn, brought on by Renault 20 years ago to turn Nissan around. The two automakers, operating as a partnership. Things started to go sour about a year ago. What exactly is Ghosn accused of?
So, Robin, this basically stems from about a decade ago. Japan started requiring companies to disclose to the public how much executives are being paid. So the original allegations against Ghosn was that in order to sort of avoid a public backlash, not only in Japan but also in France, he wanted to avoid a backlash to this exorbitant sums that he was being paid by the company. So he allegedly tried to hide about $140 million worth of compensation from being publicly disclosed. That was sort of the main gist of the case. Then after that, other charges have been tacked on, including that he transferred some losses from the foreign exchange market from his personal accounts to Nissan's, and that he redirected some $5 million from Nissan into personal accounts. So they've sort of thrown a lot of charges onto that that original one.
But he says he's not fled justice. He's escaped injustice and a rigged Japanese system. 99% of charges end in conviction in Japan, according to official Japanese numbers. So, I mean, he thinks he's right, but do others?
Well, this case certainly is drawing a lot of international scrutiny to the Japanese justice system. As you pointed out, it's almost impossible for a defendant to beat a criminal charge in Japan. Close to 100% conviction rate among prosecutors. And in many cases, the prosecution can introduce evidence that they actually obtained without a proper warrant, which is obviously unheard of in the West. And in Ghosn's case, there were some very strict bail conditions that almost seemed cruel. He was only allowed limited contact with his wife and that sort of thing. So without sort of weighing in on whether he's innocent or guilty, there certainly is a lot of scrutiny being drawn to the Japanese system because of this case.
Well, we only have about a minute. What happens to the companies? Because the chief executive of Nissan allegedly told Renault that this all started because Nissan employees went rogue. They wanted to keep Nissan independent. I mean, what's going to happen to the companies?
Well, there certainly is a lot of tension between the two. As you said, there's a partnership. Renault owns about 43% of Nissan, while Nissan owns about 15% of Renault. So it's sort of an imbalance there, and there has been a lot of tension over this relationship. Ghosn's attorney actually has described the whole thing as an orchestrated coup to get him out of the top spot. And presumably to sort of fend off Renault's control of the company.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, he's been reunited with his wife and his vineyard in Lebanon. But assumptions are, you know, forfeited millions that he'd posted in bail and maybe handed out millions more to get out of the country.
Right.
We'll follow this story with Mike Regan, senior editor at Bloomberg News. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.